much the Father loves you. Scripture says he loves us with a jealous love.
Oh, how deep a Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to me, a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my guilt upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. He was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. Is
his wounds have paid a ransom. Yes, yes, I know with all my heart his wounds have paid a ransom.
Well, this month we've been talking about the lies we believe, these Christian myths that sound spiritual, but they're not godly. So we talked about Christians can't judge, and we found from God's word, yes, we can. It's just not everybody out there. What the church has historically done is judge all them bad people. And Paul says, no, you judge within these four walls. You hold me accountable, I hold you accountable to Christian living. Last week we talked about faith fixes everything. That's a lie that we believe, that if you just have enough faith, it does not fix everything, because sometimes circumstances are simply a mess. Do you remember that some people had faith but were sawed in two? Woohoo, let's bring that back, right? Yuck! But they had faith. But the writer of Hebrews says there's a better promise. There's something more than this life, which is good because it can be a mess. And next week, oh, my favorite. Where in the Bible does it say that God won't give you more than you can handle? Nowhere. But we believe that it's in there. We've been told that constantly because bumper sticker Jesus, right? God is my co-pilot. Switch seats. You know that? God's not your co-pilot. We believe that. Yes, he does allow more than we can handle because we need him. What does that have to do with what we're talking about this year? Being ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God. What does that have to do with it? Here's the thing. We tend to focus on those half-truths that faith fixes everything, right? Oh, well, who am I to judge? Or that'll be thrown in our face. Well, who are you to judge me? We tend to focus on those half-truths instead of the extraordinary God. Well, faith fixes everything. Just have enough faith, and you've got all the faith you could ever ask for, and life is still a mess. Life is still a problem. What it does for me when I focus on these half-truths, it feeds some of those old depression habits. I begin to hear those voices that I'm not good enough, that I'm not who people need me to be, that I can... This is going to sound really silly, but one of the things that I did coming back from my little getaway a couple weeks ago is there are occasionally times throughout the day that I grab my phone and I got a little button up top, boop, smartphone dumb owner, and I press it and it says, do not disturb. And there's only a few people that's on my favorite list. I think that's funny. There's only a few people on my favorite list, you're probably not on, favorite list, that can come and contact me when I put my phone on do not disturb. Do you understand how guilty workaholic me feels about that? Do you understand that it still feeds me where, wait a minute, you've got to be available 24/7 for everybody, no matter what the circumstance is, and these little whispers in that just kind of feed into things, and I realize, oh, it's overwhelming, and it begins to swamp me. When we focus on these half-truths instead of our extraordinary God, we forget the beauty that God intended faith to be, or life to be in him. Because then I begin focusing on me and how I feel and how I hurt and the things that I can't do and all the plates that I've got to spin instead of, am I enough for him? Now, I warned Candy, so here it is. Valentine's Day for me is now forever ruined. Ruined. We know why God invented Valentine's Day, right? So that Hallmark can make a lot of money. Right? So you social justice warriors can go on Facebook and go, I'm not celebrating Valentine's Day, but okay, bro. You know, just who cares? Valentine's Day is fun. We intend it to be fun. What's your name? And I had a blast on Valentine's Day until one of my dopey friends puts on Facebook, Happy Valentine's Day to those who were born on or around November 14th. And I went, well, I was born on November 12th. Why November 14th? What's 9 months after February 14th? Oh, no. Valentine's Day is now forever ruined. Do you know why? Now because my mommy and daddy had special playtime on Valentine's Day. Where's the card for that? Thanks, Mom and Dad. What? Valentine's Day is ruined for me. Oh my gosh. Brain bleach. And it's worse. so was my wife, right? So now I get to think, my in-laws, right? It's ruined. The beauty of what it should be and what it was intended to be, celebrate love, is now forever ruined because I couldn't get it out of my head. And the way that God intended this world to be and our life to be is forever ruined because of sin. And what does the church do with that? Throw yourselves in the hand of an extraordinary God? No, let's lie to ourselves. Faith fixes everything. God won't give us more than we can handle. And we focus on the icky and not what God wanted it to be. So today is exceptionally challenging because I believe that we have bought into the lie that God wants us to be happy. We've said it. I've probably preached it. I'm sure there's a gazillion books out there. You put your faith in God. Happiness. Joy. And I even wrestled with this because that's the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are they. That word blessed means happy. But those things are chaotic. If you stop to think about it, it's not just happiness. It's blessed are they who mourn. You're happy when you mourn. Right? So this biblical notion of happiness, what is it? Is that what God wants for us? To be happy. Because for those of us that cannot find that happiness, it's literally the woman at the well, right? Married, divorced. Married, divorced. Married, divorced. Married, divorced. Forget marriage. I'm living with my boyfriend. What's she looking for? Happiness. And she can't find it. And we look for happiness because we believe the lie that God wants us to be happy. What does he want then? And when we realize the thing that he wants, does it change anything? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the verse that I guarantee you we have made a mess of over the years because it's about being happy. Romans 8:28. Deanna and I drove past Lifeway Christian Bookstore in Fort Wayne the other day, and I guarantee you within three steps of walking in the door of that Christian bookstore, I will find that verse on something. On something. So we're going to tear it apart. The first part we're going to focus on is this all things part. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Is this verse talking about happiness? Now look at the first part. All things. We're kind of getting somewhere now. How often do I want God to make sure I'm happy? All things, right? All the times I want God to allow me to be happy. Is that what this section of the verse is hinting at? That in all things, God works to the good. Hallelujah. That's where we are. Amen. We don't know what it means. Maybe. Look at this verse. Is the focus on all times me and my idea of happiness? Is that the focus? My definition of happiness, what I think should be happiness, right? I'll tell you what would make me happy. That dumb check engine light to go off my marquee. It is on there constantly. So I don't know if I'm living by faith that it will start every time or stay started. I don't know. But I want to be happy. It needs to go away. Does this verse begin with me or you and our idea of happiness? Or is the key not happiness, but contentment? Is the key happiness or contentment in an extraordinary God? Isn't that the constant struggle of life, by the way? What I want, what I think. God, why aren't you working? God, why don't I feel better? God, why don't you fix this? God, where are you? It's my idea. God works in all things. That's one of the cool parts of this verse. He's constantly working. But is it my definition of happiness or the reality of what God is doing and who he is? Because if it's based upon my happiness, I'll never be happy. It is the problem that we have as Americans, because our constitutional rights say that we have the right to life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. All right. And because we're American Christians, we just adopt that into Scripture. Contentment is what God wants. For God, you are enough. That's hard when life's a mess. So let's keep the verse going, because he talks about from all things to all good. Verse 28 again. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Aha! God does want me to be happy. Could you imagine if the verse just ended there? Because then I'd be going, oh yeah, God wants me to be happy, boy. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Right? That is fantastic. Is that what good means? That I'll never have another problem. That I'll never be bummed out. That no one will ever disappoint me. That I'll never have to sit through another boring sermon. What does it good mean? But I'll tell you this. When I see this, it tells me that God is always working in all things. And speaking of lies, here's one thing I know about God working. He works for my glory. And what I want, right? Trina's concerned. Mm-mm. God works for whose glory? His glory. That stinks when life is a mess. Because I know it. I know it. But can you fix it? Remember, faith does not fix our circumstances. What does faith fix? Us. Right? That's what faith is about. Fixing us, not changing our circumstances. Oh, we've been lied to so much. The key to our happiness is our contentment in God. We don't know, according to this, the outcome of what's going on in our life. But we do know that God can work it for the good. For his good. For his glory. But that's so hard. It is through our testimony when we can share, hey, this is what I've experienced. This is what my God story is. And that's part of the challenge with what we talked about last week, where weaknesses become strength. And I encourage people all the time, own your weakness. Whatever it is that you're ashamed of or you're hurt by or whatever's happened in your life, you tell that story and how God is working to change you and to tell your story for others. But that's sometimes hard for me, because I grew up in an age where you didn't talk about your weaknesses. If you talked about your weaknesses, what's wrong with you? And I've been in church settings where the same thing is true. Well, if you're struggling, you just don't have enough faith. It's our testimony. Do you see the part, those who love him? When we love God more than anything else, we understand what Paul would learn. His grace, as Paul said, is sufficient. I very rarely use that word. That's enough. God's grace is enough. Fine, things are a mess. Paul called them thorns, right? Three times, he's like, God, just take this away from me. And three times, God said no. And after the third time, Paul went, oh, okay, I got grace. I don't need nothing else. That's so hard to do. But it begins to change our heart and our attitudes and our thoughts and all those lies that like to speak to us. begin to be defeated in the light of His grace. We have faith that God can fix us, but not necessarily our circumstances, and we tend to turn those things around. All good. He is good for His glory. Then look at the last part of the verse. It's all Him. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Circle that if you need to. Whose purpose? His. Not mine, not yours, not something that we vote on, not because of where we're born or what family our last names are connected to. It's Him. It's all Him. To His glory. There's that key again. So what is His purpose? I want to know that. If it's all for His purpose, if it's all for His glory, what purpose does He have for me? Right? Don't we want to know that? What's God's will for my life? And usually I get that question when it's like, should I change jobs? Should I change spouses? Should I change, you know, all these things that we're like, oh, what should I do? My response is always the same. You guys have heard me say this forever. Love God. Love others. My deep darkness will tend to get on me when I start believing the lies that I'm not enough or I should be more, or you know what I mean? And I find myself just pulling back and pulling back and pulling back and pulling back. The good days are the ones that I go, no, I got to be around people. I got to find somebody that needs something that I might be able to provide for them. Now, it sounds simplistic, but I'm going to tell you the lesson that I taught my wayward nephew yesterday when we were in Fort, he's not here. I let him drive in Fort Wayne yesterday. Do you know why? God's judgment. I want him. We finally pull into the parking lot and Ian goes, do you mind driving home? He ran a truck off the road. So, he did. His best buddy was in the back lane, and I'm looking back, and he's like, So, we walk into Starbucks because where else do you go when you're in Fort Wayne but to where God's people are? And we walk up to the counter. And I say, Rachel, I need you to make me a very happy man. And Ian goes, you know her? Rachel. Right? And I said, I don't have a clue who that is. But my goal is to make her day. I did not feel like it. I didn't want to do it. The older I get, the more I just want to hang out at home around what's her name, and the older she gets, the more she wants me out of the house. Right? You know, it's just, I did not want to do it. I just don't feel good right now, physically. I just don't feel good. And it messes with me. But man, I walked up to that counter and I saw that name tag and I said, Rachel, I need you to make me a very happy man. And she goes, I don't know if I can do that. And I said, oh, yes, you can. What do I want to drink? Right? And I told Ian, anytime you see someone with the name tag on, you look for that name tag. You call that person by their name. And he said to me, does it really make a difference? Oh, yeah, it does. To that person, it makes a difference. Sometimes what I'll say is, Rachel, I am the worst customer you'll ever have. And she'll say back to me, you got a long way to go to be the worst. And sometimes they'll tell me the story because we treat retail workers like dirt. And Christians are sometimes the worst, especially at lunch on Sundays, the way we treat our servers. Right? It's simple. We serve. When I stop serving by sending a text, man, I was thinking of you today. I'm praying for you today. When I stop serving, how can I love God today? How can I love others today? I tend to focus on me. And all the little whispers begin chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Right? You're not very good at this. You know, you should be doing something else. Rachel. Right? Find a Rachel today to serve, because it begins to change me as I focus on others, and suddenly I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you're not serving, you'll never be happy. Never. Just can't do it. God does not want us to be happy. He wants us to be content that He's enough. Is that true in your life? Is it true of mine? What is it that we can do to serve in such a way to love God, love others, and say, listen, God's more than enough. Doesn't mean it's going to change any of your circumstances, but it will change you. Let's stand together and sing our closing song. I know some of the stuff that you guys are going through. You know some of what I'm going through. But if you need a little bit more, you need people just to come up and serve love on you. Come up during our song and just stand here, kneel here, cry here, whatever you need. And let us love on you. Forget our sins. As far as the east is from the west. I wish I could. It's hard to see through the brokenness and what I intend to be good and it's not. And all these false starts that I've had and fixing me and tend to focus on me so much that I forget about you. That you promise to fix us, that you promise to spiritually heal us. And we face an enemy that just wants to drag us back. God, for anybody here this morning that can't see past the brokenness, the hurt, the chaos, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, help us know that when you died on that cross, it was finished. And there can be a purpose to our pain that we can live out. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.